Like to welcome everybody this morning here on this Easter morning. Afterwards, we have a gathering together of coffee and hot cross buns in the fellowship hall. So hopefully everybody can join us there. Also, I'd like to welcome Cam Uguma as our pastor this morning. He's going to lead us in the word. Can we all come before our Lord this morning in a moment of silent prayer? I'd like to ask everybody to stand up for our call to worship this morning. Let's begin. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Glory and honor, dominion and power be to our God forever and ever.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah. Our gathering songs will be How Deep is the Father's Love, and I Will Sing of My Redeemer.
You're the Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain. You ascended to heaven and evermore will reign. At the end of the age, when the earth you reclaim, you will gather the nations before you. And the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. For with wisdom and mercy and justice you'll reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who is slain for the world, ruling power. And the earth will reply, You shall reign as the King of all kings and the Lord of all. Shield in our hand and a sword at our side. There's a fire in our spirits that cannot be denied. As the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified. Who descended to hell yet was raised up to reign at the Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who was slain for the world, ruling power. And the earth will reply, You shall. Kings and the Lord of all lords.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. Sacrifice of praise. Jesus is alive, alive forevermore, alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing alleluia, my Jesus is alive.
Good morning. What a happy day. It's not raining, and it's Easter. Isn't it a great day? People of God, receive the greeting of God this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, who was dead and is alive again, and from the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. I know we've got some visitors among us this morning, so if there's somebody near you who isn't normally here, take the time right now to greet them. And if there isn't anybody around you, greet the people you know.
Morning, Nikki. Happy Easter. Morning, bud. Good morning.
Just stay standing for a moment. I think at this time we have a responsive reading. There we are. Okay, that was supposed to be the greeting. My apologies. So let's try that again. God has made us alive with Christ. Death has been swallowed up by victory. Grace and peace to you from him who was, is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Low in the grave he lay.
Low. Grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
He arose,
alleluia, Christ arose. My Savior, vainly they sealed his death. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
He arose,
alleluia, Christ. Death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with the
mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
He arose.
He arose, alleluia, Christ arose.
At this time, you may be seated.
Hey, at this time we have our Easter choir coming up, so let's enjoy some music from them. I think we can give him a hand. Yeah. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you as well, Stacy and Cheryl, for all the work you've done in putting that together. And what a great way to praise the fact that Jesus is risen. At this time, the children can be dismissed. I believe it's those ages 3 to grade 4 or grade 5. Anyway, you guys can head off to Sunday school. See ya. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you've been here in the last number of weeks, and I know some of you haven't, so let me fill you in a little bit. We've been walking through the words of Jesus that he spoke on the cross. You know, and as he hung there on the cross, bleeding and dying, Scripture records 7 things that he said while on the cross. And we've reflected briefly on each of these sayings in light of what the cross and the empty tomb means for you and me. And over the last week, we reflected on what we thought was the final word. You know, it is finished. And certainly that was what everyone else thought was the final words of Jesus, that it is finished. But with his death, the earth shook and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And you know, that was a sure sign that the final sacrifice of Christ makes us clean before our Heavenly Father. But of course, as we know, because we're here today, the story's not over. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," those weren't quite the last words. This journey that began at Christmas when the angels announced the arrival of the boy king has come to its ultimate fulfillment. People of God, Christ is indeed risen. Hallelujah. And let's read that and let's celebrate together. But before we do that, let's spend some time in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Easter day where we can come together and celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And we can look at how that gives us life and hope. And Lord, as we dive into your word this morning, and as we meditate upon it and ponder it, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears to see and hear what you would have to say to us today. I pray that the words that I've prepared this morning, Lord, would be your words, and that they would glorify your name. Amen. We'll start with Matthew chapter 28, and we're actually going to go up to verse 10, so if you want to follow along from there, it'll be on page 966 in your pew Bibles. After that, we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 1, which is on page 1191. But Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. And now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.' Now from Revelation. Revelation 1, verses 9 through 18. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death in Hades. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some of you may recall that around Christmas time, during the Advent season, we sort of looked at the Advent season through the lens of C.S. Lewis' classic work, The Chronicles of Narnia, and The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe specifically. And the pivotal moment of that book we looked at briefly was that moment where there was about to be a battle, a great, large battle. And then the White Witch appeared, and Aslan appeared, and they went off and they had a conversation together about the fate of Edmund, who had been a traitor. And they come back and they've reached an agreement and they say, well, Edmund is safe. We're not going to touch him. But later that night, of course, Susan and Lucy see Aslan walking off. And they walk with him for a bit. And he tells them to turn around and go home. But they don't do that, of course. They're curious. And so they follow him. And what do they see next? But the witch's army standing around this stone table. And Aslan goes over there willingly. And he allows himself to be muzzled and tied up and beaten and shaved. And then he's killed. And for Susan and Lucy right there, they probably thought that that was the end of that story for them. That it was over now. Aslan was dead. There was no way that this could go well for them. Then, of course, Aslan comes to life. The resurrection sort of happens there. And, C.S. Lewis liked to deny that his book, was informed by his theology, but that was, no. He very much was telling this gospel story through this work that he was writing. And just when they thought it was over, Jesus appears to the Marys. Let's jump back 2,000 years. Let's set the scene a little bit here. Sunday morning. Friday evening, of course, Jesus had died and had been buried. You might remember the story of Joseph of Arimathea, who asked Pilate directly for Jesus' body and then laid that body in his own brand new tomb, one that he would have bought and paid for himself in order that he himself would be buried there one day. But even though his Lord was dead, he still honored him and he gave him his tomb in a show of incredible love and respect. It still just seems like it's over, right? He's dead. That's it. We can all go home. It's done. But then to, you know, drive that nail further in the coffin, as it were, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they get an idea. And we read about that in Matthew chapter 27, where they remember that Jesus had once said that he would rise again in 3 days. And so they go to Pilate and they ask Pilate, can we put a guard on the tomb just to make sure that nobody steals his body? And then says, you know, he's gone, he's risen. And Pilate says, okay. And so there's a guard posted around this tomb that Jesus has been laid in. There's an almost impossibly large stone now covering the entrance to make sure that even if he does come to life, he can't get out. It seems like it's all over. It seems like death has had the last word. It seems like there is no longer any hope. But we are here today because we know how this story ends. Despite all the odds, despite this gigantic stone, despite the guard around the tomb, despite the fact that Jesus was legitimately dead, he appears to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and then later to his disciples, and he does it in the flesh. And it is important that it happened this way, that there was a true resurrection of the physical body of Jesus. Jesus needed to be the first to break the chains, not only of sin, which he did on the cross, but of the death that is a result of that sin, of the sin that resides in you and me, the sin that entered the world through Adam. And, you know, sure, people had been brought to life through the old, or we see that in stories in the Old Testament. We see that through the life of Jesus. But they died again. Jesus is the living one of Revelation 1. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 15, where he says, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." And Matthew intentionally points out here that the women clasped his feet, that there was a physical body that they could touch. He understood that this is not just a story. This isn't an allegory. This isn't, you know, just a memory of Jesus that's resurrected and lives on in our hearts. No, the physical Jesus actually rose. He is alive. And because he is alive, we can share in his righteousness. Look with me for a minute at how the women view Jesus. Mary and Mary go down to the tomb, and they're expecting to find a crucified dead body. They're expecting that everything is going to look the same on Sunday morning as it did on Saturday and as it did on Friday evening when he was buried. Listen to how the angel addresses them in verse 5, where he says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." You are looking for a dead man. Mary and Mary have gone down to the tomb with the image of this humiliated, beaten, broken, weakened, crucified Jesus as the foremost image of them in their minds. And to be fair to them, of course, how could they not have? They were the ones who were brave enough to stay and watch while Jesus was crucified, while he suffered, and while he died. The disciples had long since fled. Peter had not only kept his distance, he'd verbally denied Jesus 3 times. He verbally denied ever knowing the man he had once called the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. It was these women who had watched him die, and now they were the ones who were going to care for his body. But the angel tells them to look in the tomb and see that he is no longer simply the crucified one. He is the risen one. He's not simply died for our sins. He lives. to raise us up before the Father. He is not here. He is risen. The fact that Jesus was crucified isn't canceled out by this. You know, it's not in any way diminished because he still suffered. He bled. He died for the sin of the world and the sin of you and me. But the death of Christ also needed the resurrection of Christ. Jesus very literally moved from death to life so that we who were once dead in our sins can have the fullness of life in Christ. And that's why the resurrection is so central to our faith. It's why it's so important to those of us here this morning. Easter is the most important holiday for you and me, because without the resurrection, none of this makes sense. Without the resurrection, we can just go home. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. As Paul says in that same passage, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. He says, if Christ has not been raised, we are to be pitied more than anyone else. But Christ was raised, and he was raised in such a way that there could be no doubt about the truth of what had happened. The women at the tomb, they felt the earth shake. They could hear the words of Jesus greeting them. They could see the empty place where his body had once been laid. They could feel his feet. Their hope was restored. The hope that they had thought they'd lost on Friday evening came back on Sunday morning. So how about us? Where is it that you and I need our hope restored? Because the deepest hopes of all humanity are fulfilled in Jesus. The resurrection was not a new concept in Jesus' day. Okay, ancient Israel lived with the expectation that there would be a resurrection to new life for those who were righteous, and that there would be punishment for those who were wicked. But this is more than just, you know, good people go to heaven and bad ones don't. This is a declaration of the divinity of Christ. This is a declaration that Jesus himself is the Son of God, through whom all people can gain access to salvation through his sacrifice on the cross. Our hope rests in the one who once was dead and now is alive. What a great thing that hope is for you and for me and for those around the world who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this same hope has been demonstrated by Christians around the world, even as they faced severe persecution for their faith. Acts chapter 7, the very first martyr for the faith, Stephen, proclaimed that he looked up to heaven and he saw the Son of Man. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, the risen one who rose and is alive. He placed his hope in that resurrected Jesus. And in the face of death, he proclaimed the gospel. The apostles themselves were heavily persecuted. Church tradition holds that it was John who wrote the book of Revelation, but he was the only one who died a natural death. The other disciples suffered and were killed for their belief in a resurrected Savior. They placed their hope in the living Jesus despite the consequences. And that, more than anything else, convinces me that this is true. That this is the true word of God. That Jesus truly rose from the dead. Because if this was a lie, if this was a story, if this was a fairy tale, if this was just Jesus in some metaphysical way living on in our hearts, there would be no sense in cutting my life short in order to keep advancing it. And the disciples would have known that too. And that hope lives out in each of our lives. We understand that we are called to live and do the work of the Lord on this earth, and that the hope that we have allows us to live in a way that honors and glorifies him. And this can happen at the best of times, right? This hope allows us to appreciate the things that we have as good gifts from God and allows us to trust that he will use them for his purposes. We can look at the weather that we have today, the falling of the rain that we have had the last few days, and the life that that provides for the earth. The grass is green, the flowers are blooming, spring is coming. And that can also happen in the worst of times. We've prayed as a church for a couple that my wife and I are close to who had complications with their pregnancy, and we found out this weekend that the baby's no longer living. But even in that situation, they have hope in their Savior. They trust that because of the resurrection of Jesus, their little one is safe in the arms of their loving God. The resurrection of Jesus offers us hope. And I don't think it's seen any more clearly than in that passage we read from Revelation. John is reassured by the living one, the risen Jesus, with these words: "Do not be afraid. I am the first and last, the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." We looked at what people thought were the seven last words of Jesus, but sin and death did not get the last word. When it seemed like sin and death reigned over us, Jesus came to die and to rise again, to pay the penalty for our sins, but to raise us as well to new life in him. He took our sin upon himself. He took our punishment as his own. And when he rose again, he invites us to share in his salvation. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Off the throne, you jester, the king sits there. You thought you had the last word, but Jesus did, and it was the best last word. Amen. At this time, we'll sing of this hope that we have now. We'll sing of the Easter hope, the Easter story, and that Christ the Lord is indeed risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Sons of man and angels say, alleluia. Praise your joys and triumphs high. Redeeming work is done.
Christ that has opened paradise. Alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led. Alleluia. Falling our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Alleluia. Death in vain forbids his rise. Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise.
At this time, we're going to come before our Lord in a time of congregational prayer. And I'd just like to open up the floor there to any joys or concerns, reasons for celebration or offering of prayer to our Lord. Yeah, we'll pray for those around the world who are holding this hope and are suffering for it. Sorry. Oh, hey.
Abby and Axel and baby Leo are still in Toronto, but it looks like by the end of the week you might be able to come home.
Sounds good. Thanks, Nikki. Well, there's a reason for celebration. I won't ask how many. For those of you who didn't hear, Anne is progressing really well with her recovery, and she celebrates her birthday this week, so praise God for that. Let's come before our Lord now in a time of prayer. Father God, we come before you on this day to celebrate and rejoice. Our Savior is risen, and we are made righteous before you. Lord, we thank you for the incredible gift that you have given us. God, we thank you for the death and resurrection of Christ, Lord, and that it didn't end at the crucifixion, that the cross was not the final word, but that the tomb is empty and that our Savior is alive and he is risen. We thank you that that truth means we can come here and worship you without fear of wasting our time, without fear of feeling like this is useless. We thank you for the incredible gift that you have given us, Lord, and we thank you for the gifts that we receive each and every day. Lord, we thank you that we can worship here in this country, in this place of freedom. And we pray, Lord, for the leaders of our communities here, our local communities, as well as our province and our nation, that you would bless them with wisdom and discernment. And that on this Easter Sunday, Lord, they would learn to turn to you. For you will give them all that they need. And Lord, we praise you as well for your healing hand in Anne's life and the blessing that she has been to this church. Lord, we thank you that she can be here worshiping with us today. We thank you as well that she can celebrate a birthday later this week. We pray that you continue to bless her and Cecil, that you continue to give them good health, Lord. And we just thank you for the joy and the life that they bring to this community. And Lord, we thank you as well for the healing of little baby Leo. And we pray that as they continue to wait things out in the hospital, Lord, that you would bless Abby and Axel and little Jude as well with patience, that you would grant them everything that they stand in need of, Lord, and that they can come home soon and begin their life as a little family of four. Lord, we offer up to you as well people around the world who are suffering for the hope that they have. Lord, we pray that they would not lose heart, that they would not lose that hope in the face of persecution, Lord, but that you would bless them, that you would strengthen them, and that for those around the world who are living in fear on what is supposed to be this happiest of days, we pray that you would calm them. Lord, we pray that you would protect them, and we pray that you would bring them ever closer to you. Lord, we lift up those in our church as well who are suffering from illness and other issues, Lord. We pray for healing where it's needed. We pray for restoration where that is warranted. And we pray for peace where there's conflict. Lord, we lift up as well the family that Christy and I know, the Schaffsmas, and the incredible pain that they're in right now. And we ask that you comfort them. We pray that you bring family and friends around them to support them. But Lord, that they can lean on you in this most difficult of times. We pray that you bless them and that you take care of them as they try to process what's happened. But Lord, even in that, Lord, we trust in you because you were once dead and now you're alive again. And we thank you for that. We pray that as we go from this place, Lord, that we would not be afraid to spread that joy, to spread the gospel, the good news, that salvation is offered through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. All this we pray in your name. Amen. At this time, we're going to give of our offerings as the Lord has blessed us. So we will bless his work in the world. The first offering will be for local and denominational ministries. The second will be for refugee sponsorship through World Renew.
I cast my mind on Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God.
He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord our God.
We pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to give to your ministry here through our local church and also through our denomination. We also want to thank you for the positive relationships we have built with our refugees in our local community, and we ask that we continue with that work. And also, we also think at this time of the millions of refugees that are still in refugee camps around the world. We pray that there may be peace in their countries, that they may return to their homes. And also we ask to bless the work of World Renew as they bring relief to those that are in camps. We ask this all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Please stand. If you're a visitor with us this morning, please join us for coffee after service. There's coffee out in the fellowship hall there. I'm also told there's hot cross buns, just in case you needed to be sold on it. People of God, hear the parting blessing of God. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And all God's people said, amen.
I looked up, and I saw my Lord coming. I looked up and I saw my Lord coming down the road. Alleluia. Alleluia, he is coming. Alleluia, he is here. I looked up and I saw my Lord arising. I looked up and I saw my Lord arising from the grave. Alleluia, he is coming. I saw my Lord a-coming. I looked up and I saw my Lord a-coming down the cloud. Alleluia, he is coming. Alleluia, he is coming. Alleluia, he is here. Alleluia, he is coming.